There we go. Praise the Lord. Hope that was a blessing to you. I just want to thank everyone for your prayers and support for us. We couldn't do it without you. We really couldn't. We've been over there working with Ben and Ashley Angel, going on 9 years this December. 9 years, right? 8 years? Nine? 12? Something like that. And well, it's like those fish, they keep getting bigger and bigger. Amen. How big was it? You know, it ain't big, you know. Anyway, but we praise the Lord. We've been to a language school. Some folks ask, what languages do they speak over there? And we use both languages, French and Malagasy. On peut parler le français. Si vous pouvez parler aussi. Je pense que vous pouvez. D'accord? Oui, bien sûr. So we speak French, and then we also speak Malagasy. You say, what is Malagasy? Well, it's not only the language, but it's also what they're called, the Malagasy people. And isan kere nandru, ampianaraku amniteni Malagasy, simisi pandikateni, similau, fa mampianach amniteni gasi zahai. I don't need a translator. We speak the language each Sunday. And really, that has been a huge door opener, if you will. People come and they expect the big white guy to speak English with a translator, but then when we get up and start preaching in their language, that's huge. That's huge. Now I used somewhat of a translator in the beginning, but I just pushed myself and asked God to help us. And in 3 months' time, God gave me the gift of tongues, literally. Amen. So God's been good. We've grown to a congregation. When we first got there, the church is running around 10 to 15 people in a small building, but we have since moved 3 times. And the church just continues to grow. I attribute that to our soul-winning efforts. Our people have learned to soul-win. We go out twice a week, passing out tracts. You saw some of the pictures, some of the kids having tracts in their hands. We do door-to-door evangelism, trying to witness to people. The Mormons are out there doing it. The Jehovah's Witnesses are out there doing it. We try to go by each door, talking to the kids, talking to moms and dads, and trying to bring them to church, bring them to Christ. Amen? But before I get into the message tonight, I just want to thank Liberty Baptist Church for what you did for my family. I wouldn't be in Madagascar if it wasn't for this church. I could go on and on tonight, as the writer of Hebrews says, the time would fail me to tell of and gives a list of people. Well, the time would fail me to list everybody I'm thankful for. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody, I don't know who it was to this day, we had a situation in school where our school bill wasn't getting paid, and someone, like I said, I don't know who it is to this day, but someone stepped up to pay our school bill. We worked for it. We worked it off during work study, but if you're within earshot of my voice, thank you for paying our school bill during that time. I praise the Lord. My wife's my biggest cheerleader over there. We've had troubles. We've had struggles, finances, physical problems. The devil's going to attack you when you try to do something for the Lord. We've had health troubles. I won't go into great detail, but some of you might know we had our house. Y'all know. I have a scar to prove it. Saying, well, what did you learn from that? I learned that God's good and we're still alive. And God ultimately used that experience to open a bigger door to the people in our church when we didn't take tucktail and run. They expected us to leave and come home. They said, Pastor, are you going home? I said, no, we're not. Because that does not teach you anything if we leave. We're here. You can't get rid of us that easy. And the church has actually, I think, grown from that. Some of our people have decided to serve the Lord to a greater degree because of that. But I said all that to say thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your prayers. If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 tonight. Brother Block is actually preaching out of this morning. And as Brother Block was preaching, I was like, okay, God, that's what I'll preach too. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, that happens occasionally, amen, same book. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, but I want to put a different slant on it tonight. Maybe someone made a difference in your life. Maybe someone made a difference in your life, knocked on your door, talked to you about Christ. I don't know, but someone made a difference in your life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, not many men, but one man. It's amazing what one person can do. One student, one decision. Amen? One man. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Well, and so death passed upon all men. That word passed means to travel, like a sickness. One kid gets the mumps, the measles, the chicken pox. It passes from one child to another, from one person to another. You keep your people quarantined, amen? When we had La Peste, the plague. We went back during the time of the plague in Madagascar. It happens every year because the trash just heaps up. They don't take it out. And people get sick. They get bit by fleas and stuff, rats. And they take the plague home with them. People die. I can't remember the total count. But without the antidote, without the medicine, we had somewhere close to 100 people that died a couple of years ago because of the plague. Well, what they don't understand is the quarantine process is for their own good. But they want to go home to mom and dad. They want to go home to family because family can take care of me like no one else can. Well, that was killing people because it passed. The Bible says here, and so death passed upon all men. Then it says, for that all have sinned. One man, wherefore as by one man. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, the difference one man can make. Our Father and our God, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Help Brother Nichols tonight. Give him strength and blessing. Help Mrs. Nichols. Bless this church. Thank you, Lord, for the lighthouse it has been all these years here in San Antonio, Texas. Please hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name we love you. Amen. Years ago, I debated on, what not to tell, but necessarily, but what stories to tell concerning this message. And really, the one that sticks out to me is where it all mostly all started. My family and I were sitting back here. My mom was bringing us to church at the time. We lived across town. And Brother Nichols had made the announcement about youth conference coming up. And at that time, it was $50. This was a long time ago. But it was $50 for youth conference. And he's saying, you know, teens are going to go up to Oklahoma City for youth conference. I had never heard of youth conference. I didn't know what youth conference was. Well, after church that Sunday morning, Guy Spencer, was sitting back there. And we had just newly come to the church. I had just been saved a short time. I didn't know come here from Sikkim. All I knew was John 3:16, pretty much. And but we got up from our pew and we were walking out, and Brother Spencer come up to my mom and he said, Mrs. Stewart, is your son going to go to youth conference this year? And mind you, we didn't have two pennies to rub together most of the time, let alone go to youth conference. And so my mom said, well, we just can't do it this year. We just can't do it right now. And Brother Spencer pulled out his wallet, gave her a $50 bill and said, go ahead and let him go. Go and let him go. I remember we were standing right there by that thermostat. I remember it like it was yesterday. I think I was maybe 12 and a half, 13 years old at the time. That was an eye-opening experience. I've been to friends' houses before to spend the night, but going out of state, I thought I was in high cotton. McDonald's, going to youth conference. I didn't know what to do with myself. Thankfully, I didn't get into trouble. Amen. I tried to stay out of trouble as much as possible. But I said all that to say, Brother Spencer made a difference in my life that day. One man made a difference. Now, obviously, since then, Brother Block, the men, women of this church, y'all have made a difference in our life. But may I say to you this evening that one person can make a difference. One man can make a difference. And I'll give you some thoughts tonight about that. One man can make a difference. First of all, one man created the creation. One man made a difference. I think you know who I'm talking about, the man Christ Jesus. Look over to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, one man created this world. Now, what if God just threw us in this world? There was nothing created, no trees, no flowers, no nothing. He just put us on this earth and we had nothing to enjoy. You realize God did not make all this for himself? He did it for us. He did it for us, his creation, to enjoy. Psalm chapter 33. And notice verse 6. Psalm 33. I like this. Some preachers might say, well, the Lord just thought things into existence. And that may sound good from an articulate standpoint, from a vernacular standpoint, but ladies and gentlemen, that's not what the Bible says. Look at Psalm 33 and verse, let's see here, let's start in verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 7, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. We teach our people in Madagascar that God created everything you see for his glory. He specially made everything to bring him glory. The problem with some people ask us, what are some of your challenges and problems there in Madagascar? Well, other than the traffic, other than the bumper-to-bumper traffic, and they're hitting people sometimes because of how crazy things get over there. Aside from all that, their culture is a huge issue. And what do I mean by that? Well, culturally speaking, the Malagasy mindset is, it's all about me. It's me. For example, people will take all their money. They will pool their money and send their kid off to school. They will sacrifice, yea, do everything they can to educate their kids so that one day they may even be able to get a driver's license. But the whole idea, the whole scheme behind everything, literally, folks, is so that they can get a good job, make good money, so that one day they can come back and help mom and dad and hold the whole family. And literally what happened, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but the motive is selfish. That's the issue. Does that make sense? For example, sometimes, Brother Block, someone will get a job working for a company. I'm talking 19, 20-year-olds getting jobs at security outfits, and you get to talking to them, and they are literally supporting their whole family. Because they got a job maybe working for a foreigner, or they got a good paying job as a security guard. When I say a good job is about $50 a month. That's a good job in Madagascar. But I say all that to say, the reason they send their children to do all this is so that they can quit their job and their kids can support them. I'm serious. But God created all things for his glory. So we're preaching a gospel to these people. We're telling them Jesus wants us to be servants and give him glory. You can obviously see that contradicts a lot of their culture. That contradicts their praise. They want the praise. They want the glory for what they do. I work for my money. Miasa beo. I work hard. Yeah, well, God wants you to give him glory. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 16, the mentality is a king mentality. In fact, there's a pastor not too far from our church. His name is Pastor Joss. He's very well known in that area. And he has told his people that he has reached sinless perfection and ought to be served as a king because of that. Some of our people have come from his church. They got saved, got into our church, been growing, and they told us, yeah, Pastor Joseph believes he's sinlessly perfect now and that he should be treated as a king. And I think I've met some of his people, some of his church members. I'm serious. Their nose is high, so high in the air, if it rained, they'd drown. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Notice what the Bible says here. Let's see here. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or or dominions or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. We were created for God's glory. And that's hard for some people to understand, even today in America. You have Self Magazine, people taking selfies. Good night in the morning. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Ought to hire a professional photographer, buddy.
Revelation chapter, you keep him in business. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, 11. Again, this is not popular preaching, especially in Madagascar. It's just not. They want to hear how good they are, how much money they made, that they want someone to sound a trumpet before them. And I'm telling you, that's what makes it such a challenge to grow a good church in Madagascar, is because some preachers can get paid off. They can. But when they come to our church and our guys preach fearlessly, which they're doing now, neither Ben nor I are there, the guys are preaching. They're taught, though, you preach the Bible regardless of who's in the crowd. Yeah. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So I'm saying tonight that one man made a difference. God made a difference in this world. He created all things for his glory. And if we're not giving glory to him through our lives, your life is spent in vain. He made it specially. He specially made everything to bring him glory. Secondly, he sustains everything he made. Not only did he make all this, but thank the Lord he put some Whataburgers in there. That's in the Greek, amen, somewhere. Colossians 1:16 says, And by him all things consist. That word consist means held together. Otherwise, we'd be thrown into orbit and outer space and no way to take care of ourselves. He sustains everything. God is almighty. Thank God he made the difference in our lives. Has he made a difference in your life? I said, one man created the creation, God Almighty, Jesus Christ in human flesh. How does this make a difference? Because he specially made everything to bring him glory. He sustains everything he made. Tomorrow when you get up and you can see your family, go to work, he gives you strength in your body to do your job and to make money, to put bread on the table, you better thank God for that. You better thank God for that. One of the things that I've learned in Madagascar is most Americans, I say this facetiously, most Americans, we live to eat. Think about it. I mean, you go to HEB and you got wall-to-wall food, bread, pasta. I mean, when we came back, I honestly, it was too much to take in. I was like, where do I start? HEB Plus, and I wanted to hit every Sonic within a mile, amen? I'm going to get this and this. I was going to go broke and get fat really fast. But in Madagascar, they don't have all that. Now, they have grocery stores. We do have grocery stores, and we shop at the grocery stores. But most 99% of the people there don't go to the store. They can't afford it. They work at the store, which, again, they work at the store to provide for their family, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing when the people quit their job because he's working, you know. But it's ironic to me. We'll be checking out and maybe buying some bread or buying some oil or something, and we'll be buying some groceries. And that sometimes they've asked me, what is this? Olive oil. What is this? And we're like, it's oil for cooking. You cook with that? Yeah, we cook with that. Oh, wow. Well, what do you cook with it? Food. What kind of food? And they're clueless. They have no idea. Because all they eat three times a day is rice, 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 vari, 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 rice, rice, rice. Man. So if you ask them, if you walk up to someone in church tonight, well, what's your favorite food, Ricky? I love pizza and lasagna. You walk up to Rakutu in Madagascar, what's your favorite food? Rice. They love rice. But I said he made everything for his glory. And we can give glory to him. Thank you, God, for this food. In fact, I told my wife sometimes when we were at the Castillo's the other night eating supper, and that was some good stuff, let me tell you. And make your tongue slap your brains out, that Mexican food. We were drinking bottles of tea. And after I get done, I honestly, it came across my mind. I was like, Man, I need to give this to the. I need to give this to somebody now. It's an empty bottle, but over there they reuse them for putting milk in them, honey. They'll use them for water. They'll wash them out and use them over and over and over again until they just wear out. They don't recycle anything necessarily like we do. They just reuse it. So, but it's just reverse culture shock. But I was thanking God for the tea, thanking God for the good food, because I know people who don't have that. I don't feel bad about it. Man, I shouldn't be eating. No, I don't feel bad about that. I'll eat my portion and then some. Amen? But God created all things for His glory. Secondly, I'm talking about how one person can make a difference. God created all things. He made a difference in this world. He made a difference in our lives by giving us good things to enjoy. Amen? Yeah. Secondly, not only one man created the creation, but secondly, one man caused the fall of humanity. It wasn't a group of people. You know, sometimes you'll hear a report how a group of people broke into a house or jerry-rigged a car and stole the car. It's an operation of two or three guys. Well, the fall of man is not due to a group of people. It was due to one man. One man. Romans 5:12 again, our text. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Now, how does that affect us today from so long ago? Well, we see the curse of sin is upon everything. Everything. The curse of sin. Weeds growing everywhere. But we have out front of our house in Madagascar, our landlord planted some beautiful rose bushes. They're everywhere. They were there when we moved in. It's gorgeous. I never have to go buy her flowers now, Brother Block. I just snip them off and give one to her. Amen? Never have to buy them, Brother Perry. But one of the things that you do have to worry about is those thorns. Because the thorns come with the roses. Yeah. It's the curse of sin. We see people getting up every day. They got to take that rice and beat it and beat it and beat it and beat it to separate the akuhu. Yeah, that's chicken. Akuhu. Akufa. Akufa. The chaff. That's another challenge is the language. You get akuhu, chicken. Akufa is the chaff from the rice. And akansu is shirt. So if you're not careful, I'd like that akuhu over there. You're wanting that shirt, but you're asking for a chicken. Amen? Tiku beni akuhu atu. I love the chicken here. And you're talking about clothes. Amen? Oh, it can be fun sometimes. One time I was preaching. My wife giggles because she knows exactly where I'm going. I was preaching. Now, I thought I was getting with it, Brother Block. I thought, man, I'm preaching revival down from heaven. Well, I kept saying Ben was not feeling good. Normally he preaches on Sunday morning, but he wasn't feeling good. So he asked me to preach, and I'm up there, bless God, you need a, I thank God for the joy he gives me in my body. And I thought I was telling people, he fills me with life and joy to serve him. And I thought I was telling them about life. God gives me life every day, fills me with life every day. I wasn't saying life. Grammatically, I was saying gas. God gives me gas in my body every day. Thank God for the gas he gives me. Ben about fell off of his pew laughing. He didn't mind. He didn't mind to correct me or anything. He wanted me to suffer up there. Oh, and people still remind me about it too. Pastor, are you filled with gas today? Oh, mercy. One time I was preaching, you ought to get right with God, and I kept telling him, you ought to mifusa. I was trying to tell him you need to confess your sins and get right with God, but instead of confessing, I was saying gossip. Gossip every day with each other, bless God. Gossip with God. Mifusa and mifuna. I mean, we're talking, anyway, the curse of sin. Let's get back to something spiritual, amen? The curse of sin is upon everything. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Men lie, cheat, and steal because of the curse of sin. We have folks over there who have to have identification cards for their kids. Kids as little as Matthew. Toddlers. Not toddlers, but kids who go to school. Old enough to go to school. They have to have identification cards because if the parents don't come with identification cards for the kids, they could be kidnapped or worse, or not worse, but they could be kidnapped, or during test time. Over there, they do tests for the kids, and if the kids pass, they can go to the next level. Again, we're talking about success. You succeed as a kid, you take care of me. Well, there have been reports that parents will lie. My child's Rakutu. My child is Arimalala. That's my child, when that's not their child. They've literally stolen the identity of another student so their student can take the test and this other kid can fail. That's how they do it. It's crazy. I've never heard of such a thing. But anyway, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. Notice what God says about the curse of sin. He says here, Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. I've always thought that was an interesting expression. Hearken unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art. And unto dust shalt thou return. The curse of sin is upon everything. Secondly, not only do we see the result as far as the curse of sin, but the difference that Adam made is such that everyone's come short of God's perfection now. Everyone's come short of it. I don't care what status you have in society, what lineage your family has in this world, what bloodline you come from, we've all come short of God's glory. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word come short means to fail or to lack. Nothing more embarrassing, folks, than to be at the grocery store. Now, everyone has plastic money, I know that, and, you know, pay with a card, but if you pay cash or something, you thought you had it all figured up, right? And you get all the stuff, ding, 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 and then it comes up to, you know, $50.25. It's always an odd number. You realize that? I think they do that on purpose. 50.23 or something. Anyway, you get up there, though, and you pull out your wallet, and you're a dollar short. A dollar short! Come on, can't you give them to me? I'm only a dollar short. Now, in Madagascar, I have what they call the Texas charm. And there have been times where I've underestimated how much money I have. And they know me. I'm the big white guy. They know me, the big bazaar. And I've come up short a couple of times. Oh, it's okay. Just come back next time and pay it. Oh, thank you. Amen. Try that at HEB. It won't work. I've already tried. No. But you come short. And all of us as sinners have come short. It's a, you know, we're cursed with it. I don't care how good you are, we come short. We need God's glory. We need God's perfection. So I'm saying what the difference one can make. Adam made a huge difference, and we've all come short because of it. May I say to you, thirdly, the difference one can make, well, one can take the gospel to others. One can take the gospel to others. You have no idea the difference you can make in someone else's life by giving them the gospel. You have no idea. You have no idea. Ezekiel 33:8, I sought for a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, but I found none. How sad. How sad. Is God looking amongst y'all tonight, looks amongst us tonight? Is he looking for the next missionary to Madagascar? The next missionary to Mexico? The next missionary, period. Yeah. How about a bus worker? Yeah. How about just a worker for the church? Man. Is he looking for someone tonight who will help the ministries of Liberty Baptist Church? You have no idea the difference you can make. Well, no one's watching me. It doesn't matter who's watching you, because God of heaven, the God of heaven's watching you, and that's enough. But beyond that, you don't know who's watching you. I've been in the store sometimes just putting along the buggy with my wife. We're shopping at Leader Price or ShopRite, South African grocery store, and up walks a church member. Manahona, Pastor, any vovo. Hello, Pastor, how are you? Oh, you know, I'm just shocked. You know, hey, how you doing? Salamatum, salama fami soch. How are you? Comment ça va? Ah, ça va bien. Je suis bien. I'm doing very well today. Thank you. And we'll get to talking. And I'm just thinking, oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't have anything in my basket. That's wrong. I wasn't doing something wrong. The difference one person can make. You have no idea who you're going to reach. We were out knocking doors. It was right when we first got there. We were still studying language, and I was out knocking doors with Dina, one of the guys in our church. He's been saved and baptized. He and his mom been members of the church for a long time. Now he's one of the guys that you saw up there preaching, end of the month preaching. He's one of our preachers. Got married recently. They live in Otsitter Bay, about 8 hours south of us, or 4 hours south of us. Anyway, we were out soul winning, knocking doors, and just going door to door. We have to go during the day in Madagascar because at night it's just too dangerous. People don't open the door, obviously. People are cooking and coming home from work. It's just a different lifestyle. Well, we were out knocking doors around 2:30 in the afternoon, and no one was at home at this particular house, so I just left a track on the gate, and we walked off and thought nothing of it. And about Sunday, though, people started coming in. We had search service. I got up to preach. Had a translator at the time. I was preaching French. Had a Malagasy translator. Well, in walked a fella. Never met him before. He come in, sat down, and I thought, man, this is great. We have a visitor. Glory to God. I'm going to call and tell Ben. He's home on furlough. We're watching his work. I'm thinking, man, we got a visitor. It's almost like when you're out fishing. You've been fishing all morning, been up since, what, 3 in the morning? And you catch that one fish. Honey, praise the Lord, you know. Snagged one. Well, that's how I felt. I snagged one. Well, time passed. He started coming. Then he brought his wife. His wife started coming with him. And we moved from where we were meeting, this little building. We moved May 1st, 2012. To where we are now. Only we moved upstairs. There's an upstairs portion. We were meeting in for a long time, for at least 3 years, and then now we're downstairs in a larger area with what y'all were seeing up there in the slides. Well, we moved upstairs, and the day that we were moving, he came. The guy came. His name is Harry, H-E-R-Y. It means strength. He came, and I was like, I'm not going to tell him to go home, but I thought, wow, this is amazing. Well, I got to talking to him afterwards, and I asked him, could I ask you, you know, I'm glad you're coming, but what provoked you to come? And he said, well, we got a track on our door. Well, where do you live? And he told me his area, and I was like, I know exactly where that is. I put the track on the door. Yeah. And he said, I saw the track, and in fact, he gave in a recent testimony because I asked the preacher boys in the institute to, I want you to give illustrations, learn how to give illustrations in your preaching. So they get up and give illustrations about answered prayer. And he told me, he said in that example, that it's an answer to prayer that he got the track on the door because they were part of a dead, do-nothing church, Protestant church over there. And they left. There's too many politics going on. Preachers messing around with women. And they left the church. Been praying, God, show us a good church. Where's a good church? We left the track on the door. And Sunday come around, he says, honey, where's that track? Well, I won't go to that church. Oh, and they were scrounging around the house. They finally found our track. They came. They've been coming. They've already been saved, but I've got to baptize them. They've been discipled. His son, daughter-in-law, and their kids are coming. Their oldest, his grandson, Matthew, is saved, been baptized. And Chloe's still little. She's around two or three right now. We're still working on her. But I said, oh, I have to say, here you got this guy bringing his family and to church. They're getting saved. They're involved. He runs our kids' ministry now. I would think we made a difference. I think you made a difference. Praise the Lord. George, one of our fellows, he was working in an evangelical church in Tomatov. He is one of our graduates from the institute. He's working in a church in Tomatov, evangelical church, and got burnt out again, politics. The people love politics in Madagascar. It's a power thing. They beat their chests and try to show how strong and powerful they are, but it ends up in church splits and hurt lives and so forth. Well, he left the church in Tomatov, which is our port city, 8 hours north of, 12 hours north of our capital where we're living, in Antananarivo. He came down, started living with his family in Tana, who his family comes to our church. Well, One of the requirements for him living with them was that he has to go to church with Donnie, his brother, which Donnie is the other graduate. So he started coming. I was preaching. I happened to be preaching on Wednesday nights, Christian character series, honesty, mercy, and so forth and so on, just taking words throughout the Bible, Christian character words, and preaching. Well, I happened to be preaching on holiness that night. He came, and he didn't like our church. He had a history. He just didn't like our church. We weren't exciting enough. We didn't have enough excitement in our services. We were too dead and boring. So he didn't like us. Well, I was preaching on holiness, and that I'm a sinner, and how wretched I am. And as a sinner, I deserve hell, but God saved me by his mercy. And that shook him. Because like I told you, everyone there's preachers who believe in sinless perfection. So he had never heard of a Baptist preacher saying he was sinful. That just really shook him. Brother Milken, he went home that night. I learned later on because his brother called me about it. He went home that night, convicted of God's Holy Ghost, of his sin, went home, and his parents had a storefront where they sold rice and beans and shirts and other stuff outside of their home front there. And that was his, they moved it and they changed his room into some sort of storage room. So he didn't have his room anymore. He had to sleep in the storefront. Amen. But he slept in that storefront. But that night he got home and knew he wasn't saved. He got down on his knees and got saved. His brother calls me, Donnie, pastor, he's crying, bawling. My brother just got saved. And I thought, I'm just preaching. Well, no, I wasn't just preaching. That made a difference in his life. You made a difference in his life. My last and final illustration. There's a little boy, Donnie's son, George's nephew, Unza. He's a little boy, has a hard time hearing. He's got hearing aids. But Brother Block, that boy, he struggles with learning disabilities and hearing, and there they don't really have the education system. They don't have the aids that we have here to help children with disabilities and learning problems. Well, we have been trying to witness to Unza. He's how old is he, honey? 6, 7, 8? 12. Okay, that was a few miles away. He's 12 years old. Well, we've been witnessing, talking to him, trying to get him saved, trying to give him the gospel. And he just, with that hearing impairment, he just couldn't understand. His daddy had been trying to talk to him. Well, we took over on our container some Chick Tracks in Malagasy. This was your life. Handed those out. I thought they were all gone. Well, apparently God providentially put that Chick Track in his way at his house. One particular day, his daddy was off preaching in a prison, in our prison ministry. His cousin was staying with him, and he found that Chick Track, opened it up, and just sat there on the floor of their house, the dirt floor of the house, reading the track. And at the end, it gives a prayer, so he prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save him. He got his daddy came home. Mira told him what happened. Mira, his cousin, told him, Unza got saved, Dad, Uncle Donnie. He got saved. Oh, I'll tell you what, we all rejoiced. I got to baptize him, and he's growing. He's involved in soul winning. That one little tract made a difference in his life. Folks, y'all made a difference in his life. What am I saying? One man can make a difference. You have no idea what you're doing. You have no idea the impact you're making in someone's life when you do right. When you support a missionary, you put tithes in the offering plate, and you support God's work here, you have no idea what good you're doing, what eternal good you're doing. Keep it up. Let me encourage you tonight, because you're making a difference. Not just here, but around the world. Our Father and our God, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Touch us, bless us, the invitation. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen.